Hello, gentlemen, barbarian savages, Rooster here. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about the Gyno Planet series right here. And we are over here on the survival of the fittest side. And we're going to talk a little bit about generational aggression. It's going to occur after the fall of society. Now, what I want you to do at this point is imagine yourself in a world where there's no police, effectively. There's no fire department. There's no hospitals. There's no electricity. There's no functioning banking system, no economy, no refrigeration. And I want you to imagine how you would live and how you would survive in that kind of a society. Because that's basically what's going to happen. When society collapses, when the government falls in on itself, it's going to be you and your family, and that's it. And it doesn't matter if it's a flood, if it's global warming, if it's nuclear war, if it's an asteroid, you know, hitting the planet, whatever it is, whatever catastrophically occurs to destroy the system that we have set up. Now I want to talk about something that's going to occur at that time, and. Women don't understand this at all. I mean, from a basic standpoint, they do, but men very readily understand this. There are two types of laws that exist. There is man's law, and God's law. So there's three, you know, there's God's law, there's man's law, and there's the natural law. Okay. Man's law is basically the rule of law. What prevents me from walking across the street, going in my neighbor's house, and stealing all their shit? Well, the fear of going to jail, being taken up on a felony, you know, sitting in court for years and years and years. Okay, that's man's law. Man's law has completely set up that system. Okay, and that's based on God's law. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thou shalt not murder, all that stuff, right? But what exists in an underlying fashion underneath all of that stuff? That's really, if you think about it, that's a structure, that's a scaffolding that we've created. The only real law that exists is natural law. Gravity really exists. If I jump off the roof, I will fall and I will hit the ground. That's a natural law. Lions eat antelopes. Okay. Raccoons go through your garbage. Vultures eat rotten meat. Okay. Natural law is this underlying law, this little river that's always flowing. Okay. Now, when society breaks down, and that scaffolding breaks down, and there's no police, and there's no judges, and there's nobody out there to stop natural law from bubbling up, you're going to see it come out. Because that is fundamentally the only real law that exists. We can pretend, and we can, you know, put makeup on things, and we can say that we have rule of law, and we can keep people in check and controlled that way. But fundamentally, the only real laws that exist are natural laws. Now, I use the lion and the antelope, the prey and the predator thing, because that's the fundamental. There used to be this show on a long time ago called Mutual of Omaha's Animal Kingdom, and it was on in the 70s. And my brother and my parents, they couldn't stand watching that show because it was brutal. It would show these tigers, and they would never show this on TV nowadays, But back in the 70s, they showed this stuff all the time. They would show hawks coming down and grabbing sparrows and pulling the meat and feeding it to their... And I loved that shit. I fucking went batshit crazy for that shit. I was like, yeah! And I was always on the predator side. I was like, yeah, lion, rip his freaking throat out. Yeah, get that water buffalo. You know, alligators coming up out of the water and grabbing water buffalo. And all this stuff used to be on TV. They would never dare show it on TV. Or if they did, they would have to have like 30 minutes of warnings. There's graphic violence involved here and you can't show this. But fundamentally, that's natural law. Now, what happens to human beings after about 3 days without water? About 10 days without food. What the military used to call it was the feral syndrome. And that is when the civilians go feral. And I saw this firsthand in Somalia. And I saw this firsthand in Haiti. Okay? And I got to tell you, man, when there's about 300 people around you and there's about 8 of you on a truck handing out food and there's about 500 of these skinnies that haven't eaten in 10 days chasing your truck to try to get flour and bread and stuff like that, it's fucking scary. You think the zombie apocalypse is scary. And you would think that these people would line up to get the food and to get the water in an organized fashion. No. After 10 days without food and water, these motherfuckers are feral. Just like a fucking wild pig or a crazy rabid dog or anything like that. They're crazy. The human beings turn into fucking feral animals. And this is what you're going to have to deal with. And there's a lot of stuff, you know, preppers on YouTube. And I advise you, you know, go to YouTube and type in shit hits a fan. And there's a whole list of videos about when the shit hits the fan, what to do, where to go, where to hide, how to not be a victim and all that stuff. I'd advise you, if you really think that this is going to happen, and I think this Gyno Planet system, I think it repeats itself every 500, 1,000, 1,500 years. So I think it's eventually going to happen. Maybe not in my lifetime, but eventually it will happen. So that's what you have to look at. These other people. If this happened tomorrow and my neighbors came over and were walking up my driveway, I would shoot them. Simple as that. I don't give a fuck. If this was actually going on and this actually happened, me personally, survival of the fittest is exactly that. I'm going to be on my porch and I'm going to be shooting people. And I'm going to go out. And added to that, I'm going to go out at night when they can't snipe me. And I'm going to take their bodies. And I'm going to chop their freaking bodies up and eat them. Put them in the fridge. Put them in the freezer. Find some kind of refrigeration. Salt the meat, you know. And I'm going to be eating your thighs and your biceps, buddy. Because if this stuff hits the fan, you have to be ready to do some nasty shit like that. And I'm going to eat my neighbors. I'll tell you right now. I mean, if that comes right down to it, you're just as good as a deer or a pig or a squirrel to me. And there's a lot more meat on you. So that's really the mentality that you have to plug into. And that's gross. And it's sick. And it's taboo. And nothing that I just said is at all politically correct. But the people that are willing to go to that extreme that I just described to you are the people that are going to be alive 5 years after this happens. And the other people are going to be people that are lying in a pool of blood in somebody's driveway because they're going to go up and knock on the door and ask for some milk. Now, can I borrow a cup of sugar? Not anymore, motherfucker. Right? So, who are the people that you want to avoid when this happens? And I say that there's five typical types of people that you want to avoid. Criminals. Anybody that you know that is low moral fiber, you avoid them. Avoid them like the plague. Stay away from them. Because if they're criminals under a civil society that had rule of law, can you imagine what they're going to be like in a survival of the fittest situation? They're going to be like me. They're going to try to eat me. I'm not doing that. Stay away from criminals. Addicts, too. Anybody that you know that is addicted to heroin, addicted to coke, alcoholics, people that couldn't fucking handle their liquor or gambling addicts or anything like that, that's a type of personality that you want to stay away from. Don't involve yourself with them because they're going to draw your resources away from you. They're going to take your resources away from you and try to put them towards the pills that they need or the heroin or whatever they need. I mean, you want to stay away from addicts. So that's the second kind. The mentally ill. Okay. When this shit hits the fan, there's, what is it? I think it's 13 million Americans, you know, like almost 4 or 5% of the American population is on psychotropic drugs right now. Prozac and Ritalin and Adderall and shit like that. Mood altering substances that are legal prescription. Well, if you've ever seen someone that's on Prozac, been on Prozac for 25 years and doesn't take their medication for about 3 weeks, they go batshit crazy. They go fucking batshit crazy because the only thing that's keeping them in a stable state of mind is that fucking chemically induced coma that they're fucking taking in a pill form every day. So you want to stay away from those people. People that are mentally ill, that are on Haldol and shit like that. No. Don't come around. Hey, see that fucking head on a stake at the end of fucking the rooster's driveway? That should be a fucking message to you. Don't come around my property. Okay? There are no fucking Prozac pills here for you. And the pharmacies are going to be all closed. So these people, after about 3 weeks of not having their medication, they're going to be batshit crazy. And they're going to be doing all kinds of crazy shit. Now, the fourth type of person, and I already mentioned it, that you want to stay away from are unprepared. People that don't have stores of food, don't have stores of water, didn't make their own lifeboat, they don't have a generator, they don't have solar panels, they don't have a battery house, they don't have a fucking windmill, they don't have running water, whether it's a positive displacement pump that they can go out in the yard and get. They have all of their pumps are electric, so when the electric grid goes down, they don't have any manual way to get water, except maybe from a river or a lake, which they're going to get infections and brain diseases and all kinds of shit from that because they'll drink it unfiltered. They won't cook the water. They won't boil the water. They won't kill the bugs in it. They'll drink it. You know, a lot of people are just going to die from that, stomach infections or parasites and stuff that are in the water, even clean rivers and stuff like that. Very scary to drink the water. So stay away from the unprepared. They come knocking on your door. You got to think to yourself, I have this much food. I plan that this much food is going to last me for a year and a half, right? And next spring I have seeds that I need to plant and stuff like that, protect my garden. I can't take everybody in. I'm not going to take your kids and your fucking wife in. And you're the one that didn't get prepared for this. You're the one that didn't have any food stores. Don't come knocking on my door because I have food. Because all I got for you is fucking bullets. And I'll turn you into my food. Because I can fucking salt and fucking dry your fucking thigh into jerky just as easy as I can do a deer's leg. Or a fucking backstrap. So, and then the last thing is the most dangerous thing, and this is the MGTOW aspect of this. The most dangerous thing that's going to approach you in this time of generational aggression is females. Emotional females. And they're going to try to use gynocentrism and all the tactics that they use, they've used their entire life, daddy complex and all that stuff, to try to get your resources. And they're going to really try at this point. Stay away from women at all points. Stay away from emotional women and stay away from women. They will backstab you in a minute to get your cachet of food or whatever you have, right? They're the most dangerous, right? Now, the generational changes that are going to come from this are not going to be due to coach purses and high heels and diamond rings and societal dances and all that stuff. The generational changes that are going to come in men and little boys over this time period, probably three generations, are going to be due to necessity. And I've talked about this a lot in a lot of my videos. You know, there's need and want. And women are always on the want side. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And men control their life and control their wants based on what is needed to survive. And the generational changes that are going to occur to our population over this period after the fall are going to be due to necessity. And what you're going to see, the most important things that are going to exist are Boy Scouts and Indians. Because those two groups of people have all of the masculine knowledge and abilities to get through this period. And it's a kind of a weird thing, but Boy Scouts and Indians, they both have the skills that are necessary. Indians are accustomed to living in hardship, living in teepees, making fire, living in the woods, hunting, living off the land, growing wild corn, growing wild vegetables, wild onions, wild carrots. Okay. And obviously Boy Scouts, it's 90% of the Boy Scouts is bushcraft, what they call bushcraft now. And bushcraft is going to be something that is very, very, very important, especially the first 90 days after this happens. Getting fire, getting a clean source of water, getting a shelter up, getting a tent, staying warm, staying dry. You know, these are all things, you know, navigating through the woods, using a compass. You'd be surprised how many fucking people don't know how to fucking use a compass, you know, let alone survive in the fucking woods. They can't even use a fucking compass. They don't know which fucking direction they're going. Okay. And, you know, Girl Scouts will be selling their cookies. What'd your cookies get for you now, Girl Scouts? Nothing. You didn't fucking learn anything in Girl Scouts except how to fucking sell shit. And you're going to be selling shit, girls. You're going to be selling your ass is what you're going to be selling. Okay? So, the generational changes that are going to come are these. You're going to have training, tribal training, and development of hunting skills, combative training, tribal training, fishing, bushcraft building, trapping of animals, basic farming, riding and driving, which are skills that hardly anybody has, you know, as somebody, you know, swimming and riding a horse used to be something that you learned before you were 6 years old when I was growing up. Talk to somebody now, if they've ever been on a horse. Now, do you know how to swim? No. I knew people that were in the Navy that didn't know how to swim. Weapons accuracy, climbing, evasion, hiding, survival tactics. These are going to be all of the aggression tendencies and survival tendencies that are going to be needed initially over the first 90 days to survive there's going to be like the people, the Indians and the Boy Scouts, Eagle Scouts, Recon Marines, you know, Army Special Forces guys, Navy people that have gone through CELRES training, stuff like that, you know, and survival training and stuff. These guys are going to be the people that are going to live. And they're going to then, in turn, over the generations, hopefully mate, reproduce, and then retrain their children. Because over the next 60 to 80 years after this collapse, it's going to be a development kind of thing. Now, that's pretty much all I had to say about the generational aggression development that's going to happen. It is going to rather quickly unravel all of the pacification bullshit that's being taught in our schools right now. The kids who are theater kids and band kids and, you know, the great sports athletes and all that stuff that's being taught in our schools now, even mathematical and science stuff, is going to take an absolute backseat to people who know how to start a fire, get clean water, build a shelter, keep themselves warm and dry. Okay? So, all of that pussification, it might not unravel in some people, and if it doesn't, those people are going to die. Those people are going to die away, and the Boy Scouts and the Indians will be the ones that are left over. Now, two last real quick things that I want to say about this. When this stuff does happen, everybody talks about their bug out spot. And what I have is in my yard, I have two trenches dug for sniping that go right to my road. I can see my road from both edges of my property, and I can snipe anybody that's coming down the road from those trenches, and they can't hit me. And there's trees on the backside of those trenches, so if I need to get up higher, if they try to bug on me, I can get to them. But the important thing about that is you shelter in place. These people talk about bugging out and going to live in the woods. That's possibly the most stupidest thing you can do. The bug out is when you are in absolute danger, when your castle is being invaded, or there's 1,000 troops coming down your road, you bug out for a day or two. And then you bug back into your shelter in place and see what's left. You take some stuff with you, but you're not going to stay out there. Now, if you come back and your shelter in place is burnt to the ground, devastated or whatever, yeah, you're fucked. But you're fucked anyways, right? So the key to this, when this happens, is always shelter in place, okay? And use your bug out. You go to your bug out to stay safe, because even armies can't be everywhere at once. If they're knocking in your front door and you're at your bug out spot, an army's not going to sit there and wait for you. They're going to assume that nobody lives there. They're going to leave, and 2 days later, you go back to your house and try to make up with what's left, right? Or your cabin or whatever, right? Now, the other thing I want to talk about is bartering. People think that they're going to be able to barter. And in this time, like I said, when the money collapses is basically what's going to cause all of this. There's no barter. Bartering is going to be a myth. Might is right is natural law. The biggest, the baddest, the most well-armed are going to take what they want, and everyone else is going to be left to fend for themselves unless they can kill the big bad guy. So though there will be natural, it'll be self-limiting. If you try to steal and kill everybody that you know, eventually you're going to get killed yourself because the word's going to get out. But if you're careful about it, you can go on for a long time that way. But money will be useless. Silver and gold may be useful, but only if somebody wants it. Food will definitely be an item of value. Ammo will be an item of value that's tradable. and pills. You know, heart medication, insulin, stuff like that. That stuff will be very valuable. So those three things are money. Food, ammo, and pills or medicine, right? Very, very basic natural law, okay? So that's generational aggression. And over the next 60 years after that, the fall of the empire or whatever, that's what you're going to see. You're going to see little boys growing up taught to be warriors, just like any, taught bushcraft, taught to survive, taught about things that correspond with necessity. And little girls will either follow along and learn the basic things that they need to do to survive, or they'll be left behind. Most women in this culture will be tied to stakes at the end of town. I mean, that's what the Vikings used to do. People used to think that the Vikings took the women with them. They didn't. If the girls were 12 years old or younger, they took them back to the Viking encampments in Norway and Sweden and Greenland and stuff. If they were older than 12 years old, the Vikings tied these women to stakes at the edge of town to be used for sexual entertainment. They didn't kill them. They just raped them and then left them tied there for the next guy to come up and rape. And that's what they did. And they basically, if you see the sled dogs that the Eskimos have, a little hut with a chain that goes out, it's tied to a post, and the dogs, you know, when they're not mushing, they sit in the little doghouse, and they have about a 5-square-foot area where they're staked to the ground. That's what the Vikings used to do with women. They would tie one of their legs in a metal shackle and stake it into the ground. And they would basically just throw their food scraps and stuff to these women, and just enough to keep them alive so that they could rape them and enjoy their sexual pleasures. So, and believe me, if I was in this situation, that's what I would do. I'd have the corner of the yard out there, and I'd have a nice steak, and I'd put a couple women out there and let them stay out there in their doghouse. Brings a new meaning to the word doghouse, doesn't it? But I'm not letting them in. I'm not letting them in my house. I'm not letting them have my food. I'll let them lick the cans, my bean cans, when I'm done cooking up a nice Frank and beans meal for myself. I'll throw the empty cans out there so that they can lick the inside of it and get some protein. But if they die, I don't care. Women are useless in this thing except for sexual pleasure. They're not providing me any. They're not a dog. They can't hunt for me. They can't do anything. So that's what happens. They go from being princesses to tied to a stake living in a doghouse, in a real doghouse. That's all I got, guys. And that's the generational aggression side of it. Next thing up is the big depopulation and extinction part, which is right here. And we'll talk about that in about a week or so. And as always, take it easy.